And welcome to this radio broadcast. Not quite a Radio Ranch Wrangler broadcast. It's kind of an in-between. Got a couple of men on. We're going to have a good talk about the day of the Lord. So stay tuned right after this song.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And another week has rolled around. Another 91st day has rolled around. This broadcast is being recorded before the beginning of the 91st day on the 18th. So it's a pre-record, and I'm going to use it for our Radio Ranch Wrangler broadcast on Saturday, because I don't make my Wranglers work on the 91st day Sabbath, and we're getting it done before the 1 o'clock time of the 18th. I say we. I don't have my regular ranch Wranglers with us. I got Kyle and Jason working frantically down there at the print shop. We have a full-size print shop, and we're getting out the next newsletter and plan to get it out before 1 o'clock today, which will begin with the daylight savings time thing. The 91st day, there's two of them at the end of the year. Starts 1 o'clock or high noon on the 18th and goes through to high noon on the 19th. So they're getting that newsletter out, and I got Richard, right and ready, Richard, online. Are you there, Richard?
Yes, sir. And we had Rich there. I'm going to have to call him back. We had a bunch of static on that line, and it just dropped off. So,
All right. We're going to have an honorary ranch wrangler today as well. That's Richard from the East Coast. Sometimes he fills in for my men. And so he'll be calling Richard right here. Richard will be calling Rich here shortly, as we dropped off, and then I'll just go on here. While Richard's taking care of that, let us pray. I'm going to pray the prayer that we're sending out. It's in the newsletter, the Scriptures for America Dragon Slayer newsletter for this month, and I am about, halfway through the month before I got it out. We just got behind. It sometimes happens, and we try to get everything done that we do here at Scriptures for America with the crew that I got. This prayer is based upon the prayer in Colossians 1, 9 through 15, that Paul prayed over the Colossians, and I've just adjusted it some. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we, your remnant Gideon fighters, may walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in your knowledge, strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, for the attaining all steadfastness and patience joyously. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you for the complete and total answer to this prayer. And that prayer is based upon Colossians 1, 9 through 15, and it's a good prayer for us to be praying about these days. And this is the day of the Lord time. I was thinking about, there's so many scriptures in the Bible to think about concerning the day of the Lord. I had some ask me, do you think anything's going to happen on the 19th? I don't know. And I'm not making any predictions. But if you want me to answer that question, the answer is yeah, I think there is. Where it is and what it is, I don't know. But something in my spirit tells me. There are things I get sometimes that come across my desk, and I read it, think about it, and the spirit tells me this is wrong. It's false prophecy. There's a lot of false prophecy concerning last day events. And some of them are right there in the ballpark, I guess, close counts and horseshoes and grenades. But the Lord hasn't spoken to me any particular date. However, something tells me that this 19th, which is a 91st day, and it's the day of the heavy moon. What is it, once every 18 years? That moon gets as close as it's going to be on the 19th. I think those are significant. I don't have a scripture points me to something. I don't have the Lord hasn't spoken to me about anything specific. It's happened to me before. It happened back there in the year 2000. I started telling people that come the September date 2000, nothing would ever be the same in the world. I don't know why I started saying that. I just knew that we hit right on. But that's about the only time as far as this hitting. I didn't even know what it would be. Well, I don't know what it would be as far as what all's going to be on the Day of the Lord events. I just don't know. But I do know this. What Obadiah says is true. You've heard me talk about Obadiah. Obadiah is a very short prophecy. And it's about Esau, and it's about Jacob. And it says in about verse 15, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. Now, the day of the Lord events is for all nations. I read on. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. What nations forget is that nations reap what they sow. And the prophets of old would talk not only to individual kings and the people, but the nation. And day of the Lord event, according to Obadiah 15, will come upon the head of the nations. I read on. As you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and drink, and they will be as if they never had been. In other words, they've been blood suckers, sucking off all the wealth and resources from Jacob, Israel, concerning this nation. And as I said in last night's broadcast, if you want to understand world events, you got to understand the devil is, the children of the devil are, and God still has a land and still has a people. And it's not the land and people that these false prophet, Baal priests, Judeo-Christian preachers are pointing people to. And this Voice in the Wilderness broadcaster will continue the broadcast of truth. You can ignore it. You can call it false prophecy or whatever you want. The Bible talks about a Zion, and it's not that bastardized sandbox over there in the Middle East with the Antichrist synagogue of Satan Jews running things. It says in verse 17, but on Mount Zion will be deliverance. So there's going to be deliverance on this place in Scripture called Mount Zion. And that's why I say, and I have said before, these people that are moving out of this country, going to South America, Belize, this and that, to try to be delivered, they're about like the patriots in the days of Jeremiah going to Egypt. I think the safest place is right here in America, and the safest place is right in the army of the Gideon elite and being right at the head and preaching. And I feel perfectly safe. My Heavenly Father is able to deliver me from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence, and that He gives His angels charge over me to keep me from striking my foot against the stone. These are all things taught in the 91st Psalm that we had read last night. And it goes on to say, in regards to this Day of the Lord event, verse 18, the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau will be stubble, and they will set it on fire and consume it. Praise God. Praise God Almighty. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things in the Scriptures about the Day of the Lord. And I don't have anything against people putting investment in gold and silver. If you got something to invest, I mean, it's got to be worth better than the paper. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people thinking that the gold and silver is the thing to have on the Day of the Lord. I want to read to you. This is in Ezekiel 19. They will throw their, this is verse 19 of Ezekiel 7. They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be an unclean thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to save them in the Day of the Lord's wrath. They will not satisfy with. They will not satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it has made them stumble into sin. I know one patriot man. He just died here in the last 6 months. He had barrels of silver dimes and quarters and that type of thing, had been storing it all these years. What good is it doing? He didn't come to church. That patriot thing became a religion of his, and it's just not going to save you. Look at some other scriptures along this line. Isaiah 13 is one worth looking. Because it says, wail, for the Day of the Lord is near. That's Isaiah 13:6. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in child labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the Day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and to destroy the sinners within it. We don't have the old-time preachers in this land saying, sinners, you better repent, because if you don't, God will destroy you. We don't have the Noahs that said, repent or perish. No, they got these feel-good preachers out there telling you how much God loves you. Goes on to say, the stars of heaven and their constellation will not show their light. The rising sun will be dark. This is all in Isaiah chapter 13. There's so much in the Bible concerning the Day of the Lord. it says in verse 11 of that chapter, I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sin. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make man scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Now, these are scriptures that are there that most people have never heard about. The Bible teaches that we are to make sure that we are right with God. Let's see, what other scripture do I want to go with? Let's try Zephaniah. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those who he has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's sons and all those clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. Still, that's in Zephaniah. And Zephaniah goes on to say, in Zephaniah chapter 2, turn in there about now. To seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. There's a lot of people saying, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, there's instructions right there in Zephaniah. The Lord said it is the meek that shall inherit the earth. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. I believe keeping the Passover is a command of God. It's for our safety and protection, as I talked about in last night's broadcast. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. That's Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2. Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon left in ruins. At midday, Ashkelon will be emptied and Akron uprooted. Woe to you who live by the sea, O Kerethite people. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, the land of the Philistines. I will destroy you. Don't think that maybe this thing that's going on over there in Japan isn't God and his destruction. He says, I will destroy you and none will be left. The land by the sea where the Kerethites dwell will be a place for shepherds and sheep pens. It will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. There they will find pasture. And goes on to say, I've heard the insults of Moab and the taunts of the Ammonites who insulted my people and made threats against their land. Therefore, and don't you think God doesn't still have a land? He'll punish that land, but it'll be him that does it, and he's not going to let the enemy carry out their plans. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, surely Moab will be like Sodom and Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place of weeds and salt pits and a wasteland forever. The remnant of my people will plunder them, and the survivors of my nation will inherit their land. This is what they will get in return for their pride, for insulting and mocking the people of the Lord Almighty. The Lord will be awesome to them when he destroys all the gods of the land. The nations on every shore will worship him, every one in his own land. We're living a day of the Lord events, and the Lord's carrying out a plan, and that plan is against the nations. that are against his nation, his people. And you don't hear taught anywhere to speak of. But, you know, you heard us teaching you about the coming day of the Lord events. Started back, how many years ago was it, Richard, we came out with the Man of Sin documentary?
That's been almost 3 years ago now.
Has it? It says in 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by prophecy, report or letters supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day of the Lord will not come until the rebellion occurs, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called good or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Now, the day of the Lord is going to be coming after this man, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is exposed. And we did that exposing about 3 years ago, and I still stand on the teaching that we gave in that treatise called The Man of Sin or The Man of Lawlessness. And until our website got hacked, we've had it up at the website. People can read it. They can order it from us. And we said that the day of the Lord would become like a woman in childbirth. And we explained that most likely what that meant is that the Bible says it comes like a thief in the night. And probably what it means is it gets more intense and the pain gets stronger and they become ever more frequent. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? To live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So, this group called Christians should look forward to this day of the Lord, because we're not in Babylon. We've been translated, according to Thessalonians, into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows how to keep us safe and cover us. And that's why we tell you about the Passover and keeping the 91st days. Well, that's kind of a fast little sermonette I wanted to give. I don't know how much time that take, Richard.
Oh, you're good on time. We're just about 25 minutes into the program.
Well, when we say we, it's Radio Ranch Wrangler, Right and Ready Richard, and Pastor Peters, and our honorary Radio Ranch Wrangler today is Rich from the East Coast. He brought a great message out in Branson about a year ago on the, what was the title of that message, Deal with the Swords, Rich?
Sword of the Lord?
What's that?
The Sword of the Lord.
The Sword of the Lord. Anyway,
we had a couple of messages.
There were two, yeah. We got great acres of Diamond Men that are able to feed the flock, and I'm grateful to be able to call on them when I need them. I sometimes don't know what I'm going to be covering. I do want to cover this, though. Keep the 91st days if you can. I will be reading the 91st Psalm, having some prayer with Christians concerning the 91st Psalm, and read the 91st Psalm and trust in it and believe it. Believe in it over gold and silver being stashed, and even over potassium iodate being stored in the medicine cabinet. Our God is able to deliver. There's a great day coming. We'll have some talk about other things now, right after this song. The song in songbook number one or number two, Richard?
It's number one.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
There's a sad day coming, a sad sinner shall hear his doom depart. I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come?
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment?
Not ready, get ready. Oh, Heavenly Father, I do pray that your Holy Spirit would work in making ready the saints, those that need to rededicate their life, repent of sins that have creeped in. Use your Holy Spirit to convict them, that they might come to the altar with tears and weeping, confessing, making things right, serve you. You are a gracious, loving, and merciful God. And those that have never gotten right, believers that have been rebellious and unrepentant, bring a heavy conviction upon them that they might repent and be baptized, as Peter said, for the remission of sins. There's so many of them that still have not. And Lord, spare us from the false prophets that try to make hay out of some of these last day scenarios. Let us not be caught up with the false visions. Give us insight, direction. Forbid that I mislead anybody in this matter. I just pray, Lord, that you guide and direct us like that Shekinah cloud of old directed the Israelites across the desert. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the scripture, and then I'll get to my men here, but it says, regarding the day of the Lord, you see, I believe it's not just a matter of pulling in your horns and hunkering down. When the Lord comes, I want him to find me fighting, swinging the sword, and standing against these hellhound bastards that come to steal, kill, and destroy my people. Oh, God forbid that we have such cold, hard hearts that we don't care about anything but ourselves. I think of this scripture in Ezekiel 13:5. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel, so that we'll stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them, yet they expect their words to be fulfilled. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know I am the sovereign Lord, because they lead my people astray, saying there is peace when there is no peace. Because they lead my people astray. Therefore, tell those who cover it with the whitewash that it's going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth when the walls collapse. Will people not ask you, where is the whitewash you covered it with? Well, there's a lot of Day of the Lord events, scriptures, aren't there, men?
Absolutely.
There are.
I've done enough talking. You guys got anything to talk about?
Sure, I can start if you want. Well, I just want to say congratulations to all my brothers out there and sisters on another 91st day. Because it seems like the last couple of 91st days, we're wondering whether we're going to have a next one. And the Lord's timing is always perfect. And we are so lucky. I mean, we've got the Book of Books from the King of Kings and all the instructions we need for whatever's coming down. And it was interesting, Pastor. You said, you know, that you'll throw your gold and your silver into the streets and you can't eat it. I think that's almost a message from God that if you're trying to do some preparation, make sure you've got something to eat first before you start turning your fake money into silver. Because I think the food would be extremely valuable, and that would probably be worth more than gold and silver. And as I was thinking about, I got that from you, Pastor, anyway, just now. But I'm looking at some of the Day of the Lord events that other people, and when we see these events coming, I think we are going to see something coming so big and bad that the people are, the enemies of God are just going to die of fear, and they will just go out of their minds not knowing what to do. You know, there's, and all their preparations are going to be for naught, because nothing's going to help them. God help anyone that the hand of the Lord is against. And something in my spirit tells me that Washington, D.C., our nation within a nation, is going to be a major target. God would love to see the rats scatter off of that sinking ship. And,
those snakes have dens. They've got holes, literally.
Yeah.
Folks, they've got underground cities for them and their families to flee to. That's a fact.
Well, they just had that little earthquake in Japan there, and they said that the continent moved 6 feet. I mean, how smart is it to get into a concrete snake bunker and have an earthquake with, I can see the crumbling walls now. If he can move a whole nation, I think he can crush a snake pit.
Well, those prophets, they would have visions. And then they'd write these visions down. People couldn't understand them, but they saw them. And Isaiah, he saw them. Where is it in Isaiah? Go ahead, keep talking. I'll try to find that in regards to their dens.
Well, I'm really getting a lot out of 2 Chronicles 18, 17 and 18 and 19. And you're going to kind of look at King Jehoshaphat as a pretty smart guy, But he decided, well, he wasn't too smart to go into battle with Ahab against his enemies, because the prophet had told him up front that God says, you know, I put a lying spirit in the mouths of your 400 prophets, and the guy still decided to take the prophet, throw him into jail. But the good thing about Jehoshaphat is this guy learned by his mistakes. He saw Ahab get killed in the battle, and when they were coming after Jehoshaphat, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord seems like it made him invisible to the enemy. And actually, the wrath of the enemy went toward Ahab, the other king. And then Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage, which was a mistake. But when Ahab and Jehoshaphat decided to go against Ramoth Gilead, that's when the prophet told them all about the battle and said, "Hey, you know, if I'm lying, you're not coming back alive." He said to Ahab, and he was dead on with that prophecy. And then when they had the battle, and Ahab was taken out, Jehoshaphat returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. That's going to be in 2 Chronicles 19. And that's where, I think one of your favorite passages is, Pastor, is, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and bring wrath upon yourself from the Lord?" That's one of my favorite passages. And you keep sending money to Israel. People keep sending money over to Israel to put in olive trees and send a Russian jewel care package. You know, you keep helping those guys. And then, Jehoshaphat learned by his mistake, and he started doing reformed institutes in the land, started appointing honest judges, and he said to the judges, "Consider what you're doing, for you don't judge for man, but you judge for the Lord, who is with you when you render judgment." So he started setting it all up, started putting his house in order. Next thing in the Bible is three massive armies come against this guy. And the massive armies were Moab and Ammon, who you just mentioned, Pastor, and the Septuagint says Canaanites. And I guess the American Standard says Midianites. But anyway, he's got three massive armies, and what does he do? He starts turning to the Lord again, proclaimed a fast throughout of all of Judah, and then had his priests get together for him. And he said to God, and this is something we're going to have to remember, I think, because when we see these Day of the Lord events coming, Jehoshaphat's prayer was, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not the God in heaven, and are you not the ruler over the kingdoms and the nations? Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. Did you not, O God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?" Well, he did drive out the inhabitants of this land before us and gave it to us, but stolen. But then as we go on, "They lived in and have built your sanctuary there for your name. And now what he did was they all proclaimed a fast, cried out to the Lord. Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all Jerusalem fell down before the Lord and worshipped him." And I think that's what's going to happen. And we're going to fall down and worship the Lord, and he will deliver us just as he delivered them. And then they put the three armies out there against them, and he had, so when the event arrives, I think we need to do what he said, what he actually did. I'll go to verse 20. "They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God. You will be established. Put your trust in his prophet, then succeed. when he consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love and kindness is everlasting. And when they began singing and praising, the Lord sent ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were all routed. Because the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroyed them completely, and when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped destroy one another. God has got such an awesome way to demonstrate power. This is okay, we're just going to let you kill yourselves. So I think that's something that's going to be coming up, and it's going to be ugly, but we just stay there in the Lord, praise him, fast if we have to, and pray, and let the day of the Lord come. I think we're going to get saved. We're going to get delivered out of this thing.
Well, that's the way I feel about it. By the way, I found that scripture. It's in Isaiah chapter 2. And the idols will completely vanish, and men will go into the caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and before the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day, men will cast away to the moles and to the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship. Now, I think what that's saying is that these people have taken, that have built these underground shelters, and they've sold them like condominiums, and people have paid their money, and they're like the moles and like the bats. They've got a place for them to go to. In order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs, before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. Stop regarding man whose breath is of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? Now, Isaiah saw that, and John, the apostle, saw something similar to that when you read over in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. I read, and the kings of the earth and the great men of the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So we have a great day coming. And when Rich was talking about that story in 2 Chronicles 20 and about what happens with worship, now I've told you that the Spirit spoke to me and said, you've got to emphasize worship in this coming Branson, Missouri meeting.
Yeah, and amen.
It occurred to me as Rich was talking, this passage of Scripture in Peter, I want to read it to you. It's in 2 Peter, but the day of the Lord will come, this is verse 10 of chapter 3, will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening. This is what's always been of interest to me. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Well, it occurred to me that as Rich was talking, how do you hasten the coming of the day of God? I think one of the ways you do it is worship. And we're going to be having worship out there in Branson. Just praise and worship alone, we see, brings great things from God. So I wanted to throw that in. Richard, we haven't heard much from you.
Well, I've been just sitting here taking this in, and it's sure good to hear this. And it's I prayed before the broadcast too that as we try to do that, God would sure open the hearts of the people. And you know, like you said earlier, Pastor, His Christians out there, the people that have been brought out of the dominion of darkness and into His dominion of light, as the song said, there's a great day coming, and that's how we have to look at it. You know, sometimes we hear, as people have called in this last week here at the ministry, a little bit of fear and a little bit of uncertainty. I spoke with Chris a little bit earlier today, and he said, you know, he's really kind of just felt that a type of anxiety. But he said one thing, and I'm sure he shared it with you, but he said that he's really come to realize that he has to, and he's feeling it, and I think it kind of echoes out there, a greater depth of hate for these ungodly tares that are out there, and that as he's understood a greater depth of hate, it's allowed him to understand a greater depth of love for our Lord, for what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, and for our brethren. And we've spoke of that before, but I wanted to mention it, and I sure seem to have noticed that just it's kind of like an underlying current out there. But, you know, we've got good news. Like you've said, we've already won the battle. We've still got more to do. We've still got work to work. But you read the word, we win. And we'd just like to read a couple things. We've still got about 10 minutes, but in our recent Volume 3 newsletter, The Dragon Slayer, in your article, you talk in here and quote Psalms 37. Just wanted to read a couple of verses from there. And this is what we're to do. This is how we're to be. We're not to fret. We're not to worry if we're His, because Dad will take care of you. Dad watches out for you, and we can trust in Him. And it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And we've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. Delight yourself in the Lord. And I understand that is not, oh, geez, here we have to go to church again, or, oh, man, it's time to pay tithe again. That's not what it's talking about. It's delight yourself in the Lord. Rejoice in the things that He brings before you. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And that's something we've always tried to teach our children, is this is how you get the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. And a little bit on down, it's, you know, I was thinking about it when you were reading about, you know, these rich men, they've got their fortresses, they've got their holes and their caves in the ground and these type things. But I believe the word says somewhere that it'll be their tomb. It'll be their grave. Because it says further,
save us the trouble of burying them, Richard.
That's right. It says a little further in Psalms 37, evildoers will be cut off. And so that's the bottom line. But those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And I think that ties in with what you were saying, Rich, is that the evil men, they are shaking in their boots. They realize that this is of God even more so than Christians do. And I think that they realize their days are numbered. And we should all believe what it says here in Psalms 37, I think it's 10, yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more.
Amen.
And we've just got to hang in there and continue, as you said, Pastor, to be found faithful when He returns, to be swinging the sword, to be putting these broadcasts out, to be putting the word out, to be doing all that we can to be found faithful. And to be reassuring His people and reminding them of these type verses. You know, in Philippians 4:6, right below this, and again, I get this right out of our Dragon Slayer newsletter, people. So if you're listening and you get the newsletter, it's going in the mail today. The ones that we email out to people, we just got those emailed out, I think, yesterday. And it'll be posted at the website, hopefully for the weekend as well. But Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. And I mean, that should be enough right there. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we know that he knows our needs before we even think of them. And he is very faithful in providing for us. I look back on my life, and I can never think of a time that he has not provided for me and my family in one way or another. And he will continue, just as he did yesterday, just as he did last year, just as he did, 15 years ago. He will do so tomorrow.
Yeah, he will. You know, there's quite an example with that quake in Japan, Richard, too. Here you have this nation that has two major religions, Shintoism and Buddhism. They're both worshiping false gods, and here they are with a major disaster, and they're worshiping demons. I mean, what good is going to come out of this for those people? I mean, we are so fortunate to know the Lord and to, to count on Him in times of problems and trouble. And when the day of the Lord events come, we're just going to praise and worship. I mean, what good does it get?
Amen. Hallelujah. We need to encourage one another and strengthen our faith. Faith comes by hearing, ladies and gentlemen, and hearing by the Word of God. And warms the cockles of my heart, so to speak, when I hear men of God reassuring the flock that their God, their shepherd, is able to take care of the sheep. We got to walk in that manner, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because there's going to be a day you look around. Maybe it'll be a day when your grandchildren are saying, was there really things like tares in the land?
Yeah, how come there's so many extra houses, Grandpa,
Yeah. Did they really
feed people? How come we own three houses now? And two, one at the seashore, one in the mountains, and one where we want to live. Oh, well, the tares don't need them anymore, son.
What's a tare? Is that like an 8-track tape I heard you talk about one time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. What? One more verse, Revelation, I guess it's 19, is it? Rider on a white horse. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And guess which nations he's going to strike down? Those that do not bow to him and do not obey him now. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I know when I read this in Revelation, it reminds me of that song, there is a great day coming. And I think we do need to do, as you said, Pastor, do all we can to pray for and hasten that day and say, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to go out for that song, too. It's a good, appropriate song.
We can do that again.
Well, how much time we got left, Richard?
Well, we're down to about, let's see, got a couple minutes song, so we've got about 5 minutes left.
Cool. Well, friends, I encourage you to make sure you keep the Passover that's coming up. We've got it posted at our site as to when it is. It's in April. What's the date again?
The Passover will be Saturday, April 2nd, starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'll have some streaming from the La Porte Church of Christ that evening. So it sounds like we're getting a little bit of feedback here on the – or a little bit of – sorry, I think we've got it fixed on the line here.
Also, friends, the 91st day, noon on the 18th, which is 1 o'clock daylight savings time, since they messed around with that, till noon on the 19th, but there's two of them back-to-back. So noon on the 19th or 1 o'clock daylight savings time to 1 o'clock the next day. Those are the two 91st days. We'll be keeping them here. May the Lord Jesus Christ keep you, watch over you, those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift His countenance upon you, grant you peace, peace in this time when people, they won't know what's hitting them, because there's so few people that are hearing the truth concerning the day of the Lord events, truths that you heard in this broadcast, truths that are still getting out, thanks to those of you that are faithful to the call, the tithe, send your offerings. And remember, we need those to do what all we do do. Keep us in your prayers that we do get that broadcast up and going by the April Passover day. And that's the what I call Project Logos, where we'll be sending out the Word of God all over the world, 24/7 in different languages of the world. Run across a few obstacles Satan's put before us, but we'll overcome them. But keep it in your prayers. And with that, we'll let Richard take us out. Thanks, Rich, for being an honorary guest with us today.
And we thank all of you. Pastor, thanks for tuning in with us, and we thank all of you out there. Remember, again, this is on your Saint-sponsored network, Scriptures for America, Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And you can email us at preacher@sfaw.org, our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and our mailing address for your support that we do need, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.
And you can use PayPal at our website.
Absolutely.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by, when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by, but its brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come?
Country stolen.
keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and